You guys ready to slug blast?
Yeah!
Slug blasters!
Slug blasters!
Slug blaster!
Slug blaster.
Slug blaster.
More
That's
than
the energy
the
we're looking
eyes.
For, Roshane.
Rain. An endless monochrome rain echoes off the sprawling pedways and sky trains that spiderweb their way across the three warring mega towers of Operablum. You cross through one of the thousands of shadows of this world and find the color sapped from your skin and your clothes, sinking you into a noir gray scale that seems to pull the heat from your very soul.
How?
To the left, you hear the distant thumping of subwoofers emanating from an abandoned warehouse, and to the right, you hear the staccato crackle of neon billboards and sodium lights piercing the eternal dusk hour insomnia. Raves, androids, mirror shades, you get it. Siren Stanfield, you come out of the portal into Operablum, immediately pelted by this rain. Siren, in front of you, you see these three giant mega towers. You are literally in the center of this three-pronged walkway leading to these massive mega towers. These are like city-sized towers. You know that you have some opportunities for an internship by going to like kind of a hub portal thing to try to get a job. What has Siren decided to wear to this like corporate world job opportunity? And also, did she bring her hoverboard?
I have done the unthinkable. Not much about me has changed, but I have rolled up my pants so that they are not dragging on the ground.
Whoa.
And they are cuffed.
Oh, no.
At a reasonable length.
Oh, God.
Whoa. The horror.
I've also slicked back my hair because I saw in a magazine once that like business guys like have slicked back hair.
Oh,
I slick back my hair so it's not in my eyes. And, like, you can see my forehead, like, looks kind of, like, paler than the rest of my face. Because I'm so used to, like, being outside and having my hair cover my eyes. I've, like, put on my best, like, t-shirt. So I still look like kind of a punk grunge kid. But Siren just tries to, like, straighten up. She does have her hoverboard with her, but almost because she was like in a fugue, like angry preparing and just grabbed it out of habit. And then halfway through the portal, she realized she has it and like, well, I'm not gonna, it's like too expensive to get rid of. There's something that stops her from tossing it away. Probably because it's expensive and she doesn't want to disappoint her mom because her mom like saved up a lot for Christmas to get it for her.
Aww.
So trudging through the rain, the gel in my hair starting to like streak down a little bit into my ears and just get a little sticky, but I like keep slicking it back. Siren gazes up at these huge mega towers and remembers the symbol on the card of the woman that Roshane met.
Imani.
Of Imani. And then heads towards the mega tower with that symbol emblazoned on it.
You see the card has a symbol that is the three mega towers of Operablum with two towers slightly below a third. And you see that this symbol is kind of reflected on all of the different towers, except they have a different tower above the other two towers. And I think you're vaguely aware of this, but you hadn't ever necessarily like been to Operablum before, and seeing this area, the pedways between these three towers have all become like hubs of their own. So there are like, you know, kiosks and stands selling like fruit and food, and you know, there's like gaming tables and stuff. There's a whole civilization just on these like things connecting these giant towers, and each of these towers have been warring for, honestly, like time immemorial almost. As far as people can tell, the reason that they've been warring is because of some IP issue surrounding like sparkly unicorns like hundreds of years ago. And that warring amount has gone to like an almost militarized place. Like there are people walking around like very shady. This is a very Blade Runner vibe world.
Oh.
And you walk into the tower with the center tower above the other two. And as those doors close behind you, you hear the rain suddenly. Silence behind you.
Wow, crazy. As I walk through, there's suddenly like a huge blast of air and like two jets of air just like blow from either side of the vestibule and just totally, I'm totally dry all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
And my gelled hair is just like sticking back and up just a little bit.
Porcupine.
Because it like dried so quickly.
Hell yeah.
So I kind of, it's like a haircut, almost like one of those little Cupid dolls, kind of.
Oh my God, oh, yes.
Yay! And I'm just like, whoa. And then I walk to the front desk, where I imagine there's some kind of hulking security reception guard. And I say, I'm here for my internship.
In front of the security desk is indeed a hulking security guard guy. Massive, like some kind of weird, as far as you could tell, gun, but it doesn't really look necessarily like a gun that you know how to fire.
Is it just a smooth tube?
It is a smooth tube, but it seems like there's like sections of it that you, it seems like you want to squeeze, but like squeeze as in like a tube of toothpaste.
Oh.
It's like almost a squishiness to it. And
it's repulsive.
It's a little weird. This guy in front of you, pastel hair, also in like spikes. And you immediately realize like all the people around here in like boring business suits and even like the armed guards all have spiky hair, all from this same wind drying mechanism that you realize is just like, it's so ubiquitous that it's become just like fashion.
Unavoidable.
It's unavoidable. Looks down and goes,
oh, you're here for the Wilkie's internship. Yeah, I'll have a guy come down and get you in just a minute.
Tight. I mean, thank you.
You see the additional two arms of this guy go out and like make a couple of like on a number of panels, and a guy comes down a few moments later. Very, very like boring suit, very, very straight laced. Does not have the spiky hair, and instead like has hair very flat. And you see a little name tag on him. It says Drew. And Drew comes up to you and goes, hello, I understand you are Siren Stanfield. I am Drew. I am the director of Fun Times at Wilkie's Candy Lab. Are you ready to begin your internship?
For sure. I mean, yes, sir.
Wonderful. This will be, I'm sure, your dream job, just as it is mine.
The hell?
Yeah.
Please follow me to the funatorium.
All right.
And you begin to follow Drew down a long, dank, gray corridor.
As we walk, the sounds of his well-heeled shoes just like suddenly grow louder and louder and seem to like match my own heartbeat. And there's a moment where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Almost turning back. And then I remember just like my friends and Roshane just like not caring about slug blasting and like the team falling apart. And I shake. I like slick my hair back a little bit more and then keep following Drew.
You follow down this endless gray corridor. Clop, 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 clop. Thump, 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 thump. Heartbeat and heel as one. Both of them speeding up just a little bit. As you see in front of you, two little pinprick dots of light of two small windows from this massive double door. Drew makes it to the double door, swipes multiple key cards on a bunch of different, like, he like taps one, swipes one, he like gives a little bit of blood from a finger, he types in a number of keys, and finally pulls out a giant golden, just straight up skeleton key. Turns back to you and goes, are you ready? for the first day of the rest of your life.
Big swallow, like cartoonish, like I don't have an Adam's apple, but in this moment I do. Just a big gulp, and I find that there's no words. My mouth is dry, but I just give a sort of wide-eyed nod.
He reaches down, inserts the skeleton key into the last of the many locks on the door to the funatorium, and turns the key. And as the key turns, we flash back to Null.
Simon, what have you done? Opera Boom made me want to play Cyberpunk 2027 so bad.
Back on Null, the four of you have gathered together. Ruby, you've spread the information that you saw Siren walking through a portal to Operabum as, like, rain was coming through it. And everyone thought, like, oh, maybe Siren's just going to do something. Everything's fine. And then you dropped the bombshell. Siren's pant cuffs were not on the ground. And everyone knew just how serious things had gotten.
Shit. Yeah.
But, like, she brought her board, right?
I hope so.
Right. When did she get... Hold on. I pull out my backpack and I go, hey, Zordon, can you get the Siren tracking gerbil?
Yes. Please hold one moment. We have a lot of tracking gerbils down here.
Thanks. This might take a while.
Glad for this plus two, yeah.
Rashine, do you have gerbils tracking all of us?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
What?
That's surveillance, man. That's not cool.
It's just so I know where you guys are, so if I need to find you, I can come find you.
Is it like they have our scent, or is it they have little GPS units that they track us?
You see a giant hand, a giant furred hand, pop out of the backpack with a small gerbil in a one of the gerbil balls, and inside the gerbil ball there is like an entire computer array.
Yeah. The gerbil sitting in the
desk. Very, like, man in a chair vibes.
Oh, I guess that answers that question.
The gerbil turns to Roshan and he goes,
hey, how can I help you?
Siren, when did Siren have time to go get an internship?
All I do is track. I don't really listen in. I've got GPS coordinate kind of stuff, you know, so you gotta specify a little bit more.
Well, do you guys have questions for the tracking gerbil? I just kind of wanted to know.
Where did she go?
You see a little tracking gerbil.
She's in Operabum. In one of the mega towers.
Inside the mega tower?
It seems so.
That doesn't sound like Siren.
Oh, wait a minute.
And you see him like going through the stuff and keeps like tapping the screen. You see him turn off the computer and turn back on the computer.
I just lost the signal.
What?
What?
All of our tracking devices are, I mean, they were created by Zordon himself. They're perfect. I swear they're perfect. Zordon, something's happened.
Oh.
Oh, shit. You don't think that, like, she's in some, like, corporate back room?
Siren would never.
No.
Unless she was taken.
I mean, we kind of had a fight. I'm worried this might be my fault.
Why? What happened?
We just got in, like, an argument about, you know, Rashane and his comptroller thing, and,
Oh.
Wait, that bad?
Were you both arguing over who wanted to be chief of staff?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Really, Sammy? It couldn't have been that bad.
I meant to text her last night, but I just...
She was pretty mad at me because I've been, like, helping with the comptroller campaign and not really, like, you know, getting into this... She thinks we're losing the spirit of slug blasting as a crew and, like, not... And, like, letting Roshane take all the spotlight and he doesn't even want it. You don't even want it.
I mean... Nothing wrong with losing the spirit of slug blasting, in my opinion.
What? Rashine?
What? You don't... It's fun. It's totally... It's a good time. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. Do whatever makes you happy. but there are more important things.
If we lose the spirit of slog blasting, we're going to lose sirens. So hand in hand, they go together.
What is this, a Christmas movie?
We got to go get her back.
Rishane, like, just this one day, could we just, like, just have fun with it? No campaigning in Operablum. We just go get Sai and...
They're so intense over there. It's Leah, let's just forget about the campaign for, like... Can we please just go get Sai?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
Cool.
Also, full disclosure, I am still grounded, so...
You're triple dog grounded.
I'm triple dog grounded, and so, if everybody could kind of keep it on the DL, grounded. You know, I'm going to stay behind the camera. I'm really not going to get myself in a lot of footage this time.
All right, I'm going to meet you guys at the nearest portal. I got to go do something really quick.
All right,
let's get supplies. We'll meet there in one shake of a lamb's tail.
And I won't campaign, I promise.
You guys break off into four different directions, knowing which portal you're going to have to get to operate. There's like literally rain coming out of it at all times. We flip over to Ruby.
Ruby is in a bathroom, staring at herself. And she's gonna burn some legacy.
Yeah.
She's gonna burn diehard fans. And she's going to take a shower.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. Like,
character
you cut to her feet and you see green dye just like flowing past it. And y'all are just waiting at the portal. Like, where the hell is Ruby?
Right.
And I don't know, maybe 10 minutes after you think everybody's supposed to meet up, someone you don't recognize walks up. Not on a board or anything. Just walking up slowly and in some smart looking shoes and a skirt suit.
Whoa.
Sorry, ma'am. We're looking for our friend. You can get out. Can you leave?
Hey guys, it's me.
What? Ruby?
Rubes?
What?
Today it's Rubita.
What?
Are you trying to get an internship or something?
I thought a disguise would be helpful today.
And she freaking just took a shower, wore the most boring clothes from her mom's closet, and is walking, not skating, to you guys.
Summer's having a full, like, mental breakdown crisis of being like, we've lost Siren, now we've lost Ruby.
I think Sammy's right there with you, just like kind of starting to like subtly heavy breathe and calm himself down.
Just to say, I feel like also our little like friendship of being friends since we were really little, of like we're just sort of standing and in unison being like
oh. Roshane's looking at all your clothes and like, whoa, that's a really nice blazer you got on.
Shut up, Roshane.
Okay.
It's just a disguise. I'm still Ruby underneath.
But do you even have pockets for snacks?
I'm way ahead of you. And she has a crossbody bag with
hell yeah.
Her it's like hoverboard. A bag.
Yeah, it looks like a businessy one, but the tip of her hoverboard is sticking out of it.
Always be prepared with snacks.
All right, maybe we haven't lost her entirely.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
And it's mostly because she wants to burn her legacy of diehard fans. So she is unrecognizable.
Is it, like, die?
Ruby nice. Is taking the incredibly drastic step to burn a piece of legacy. Legacy is a feature of this game that is going to help in your epilogue. So, like, how your rest of your life is defined, the role you're going to have to make for that, is based on how many legacy you have. This is an incredibly valuable resource to be burning, and you are doing it to erase a fracture from this group and hopefully get this group back together. You guys were at 4 fractures. You are down to 3. You still need to get rid of at least one more fracture for there to be a possibility for Siren to rejoin this crew.
Oh, no.
Bro.
But a oof. Good chunk of that work has been done.
Yay.
Should we go through the portal?
Yeah. Weird day.
Weird day.
Let's go get Sai.
All right.
You guys step through the portal into Operablum, and we flick back as Siren Stanfield stands in front of the Wilkie's Candy Lab Funatorium. The inside of this room feels like if all of the color from the noir dusk of outside Operablum had been haphazardly puked into a single massive airplane hangar. All of the floors are either bouncy or musical. The walls have things to climb or Velcro to get stuck to. And running all around you are kids and adults shooting Nerf gun-like objects, flying spinning tops, and eating unimaginable amounts of candy. Some that you recognize and some that is clearly experimental new flavors of candy. And off to one side, you see a group of slug blasters running through one of the coolest indoor setups you have ever seen, with portable portals that they are moving around through. Whoa. To like start tricks going through and then come out in different parts of the ramp.
What?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Drew kind of walks. You guys are up on like a catwalk above all this. You're looking down on it. You walk across this catwalk to a large office build, like a large office that has a big glass pane of window that looks out over this. You enter in and Drew shuts the door behind you, really cutting out the sounds of frivolity from the other sides of this door. And Drew sits down behind a large desk with a big stack of paperwork for you. Welcome to the Wilkie's family. We are very excited to have you on the testing floor as an indentured, as an intern. I see you've noted here that you would like to focus your internship on games, toys, and candy, but would prefer to stay away from the testing of our latest slug blasting products. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
Wonderful. We will try our very best to work within your guidelines and your preferences so you can be a great part of the Wilkie's Candy Lab family. All I'm going to need you to do is sign your name about 46 times throughout this stack of paper, and then we'll get you started with your training and your internship. He pulls over a big glass jar of like experimental Wilkie's candy. It's all like different colors. Some of them you can't even like. It's clear that there's like a gobstopper in there that is on a color spectrum you cannot see.
Cool.
Would you like a sample?
Very rudely, like, put my whole hand in the jar and, like, dig through to get to that color that I can't see gobstopper. And then I go, check it. And then I go, I mean, thank you. Sorry. And then I eat it. And, like, and as I start to sign, like, ponderously, because this is the first time I've ever, like, done anything like this, so I'm really like carefully in cursive writing out my whole name, so like this is gonna take a while. And my mom has also always told me you have to read everything that you sign. So I just like start like ponderously. Can I do like what's in these documents? Like, can I do an investigation check, which doesn't exist in this game?
Let's have you make an action roll. This is weird. This is an action roll to read and to see how much you glean from this.
Yeah.
This is, I think, entirely against the spirit of this game, but this is the most action-filled thing that is happening in this scene. So I want to have you make an action roll on it.
Because I said check it, I want to. Because I said check it, I want to use, yeah, I want to use my boost, like, because the candy's giving me a little boost, so I want to use a boost.
Sure.
Mark that off on my character sheet.
And now I'm this gonna is roll. A game.
Yeah, yes. This is a game. You gotta always be rolling. And I'm gonna roll 2d6 for this.
Always be rolling.
Ooh, that's a 6 and a 1. So.
Yeah.
6. Go ahead and mark a style for your check. Yep. as you toss this candy.
I have like surprisingly good handwriting that's like a beautiful cursive.
You've been practicing a signature to be a famous slug blaster.
Yeah. Oh my god, totally.
I feel and like it's that like fits really so cool. much.
Siren's all about practice.
Yeah, Siren Stanfield has like one of those lines beneath the signature, but it's styled like a slug blasting board.
Mm. Yeah.
You see that Drew, who you've seen as like the epitome of the emoji with like the flat line for a mouth, just like that's the expression. It's the pure neutral. Gives a slight smile as he's watching you like read all of this and also like do this very ornate practice signature. You get a pretty clear idea that you are going to be a tester for toys and games and all and slug blasting products and candy that is new to Wilkie's. And you know that Wilkie's is the local multiverse's largest confectionery and other foodstuff brands. Their parent company acquired them in a fun militarized takeover in an effort to provide calories to their mega tower of passionately indentured citizens and employees. They've had an active presence in the slug blasting scene.
Passionately indentured.
Since launching their youth targeted energy drink, Panic Energy.
Fun military takeover?
Yeah, just a real fun militarized takeover.
Just a fun little militarized
takeover. Panic Energy. So funny.
It's great.
The big things you see is that you're going to be able to see all this stuff first. There's a whole lot of confidentiality agreements that you're signing. You see that your average shift is about 16 hours long.
Oh, my God.
And your work days often run multiple in a row. Like a 6-day work week is considered standard here. Actually, on Operabilum, there are only 5 days of a week. So you're not quite sure how that translates to null. So there's some. You have more questions than answers, but you get the vibe that indentured servitude is the closest amalgam to what you are signing up for in Wilkie's Candy Lab.
I half remember my seventh grade, like I guess middle school wasn't that long ago for Siren, so I kind of 3/4 of the way remember like the lessons that I learned about indentured servitude, and I'm like. Oh, this seems kind of bad. But then I look down at, like, everyone having fun on the floor, and I'm like, it can't be that bad. Like, it's fine. So I still ponderously, like, keep signing.
You actually see, as you kind of look down on the floor, you see someone that you recognize. Not someone that you necessarily know particularly well, but this was a kid, I think, like, in your grade, maybe one grade up, named Punky T.
Hell yeah.
Punky T?
Punky T. Who hadn't really been in the slug blasting world for a little bit, was kind of like in and out, was kind of like a casual slug blaster. And you see him off in the background, like doing a bunch of tricks on these slug blasting things and seems to be like drinking down a 42 ounce of these panic energies.
How's Punky T looking? Just, is he looking
You're
anxious?
Very high up and very okay. far away.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Drew.
You can just call me Drew. I like to keep things casual and friendly around here.
Bet. I mean, yes, sir. I still have to go to school, or like my mom's gonna be pretty disappointed. And, like, my dad won't probably be cool with that either. So I just want to know, like, I can still go to school, right?
Of course we love education here at Wilkie's.
And he turns a big section of the contract to a section about taking vacation days in advance.
Oh, okay, this is going to be, like, a lot of vacation days, though, because I have to go to school, pretty much most days. Do you, is there, like, a weekend internship I can do?
Would you like to try a free day as an intern?
a trial day would be ideal for me and my schedule.
Well, and he pulls aside all this giant contract, goes, it's a little unorthodox, but I'm feeling spicy today.
Yeah, you seem like a cool guy. So
you see on his name tag pin, there's like the smallest little sticker that's just a little like operable and happy face. And you see him kind of look down and like ding it, because I like to think of myself as very hip and spontaneous.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Feel free to take use of some of our company lockers to put your stuff and make your way down to the testing floor and enjoy your trial internship.
Thank you. So I go down to the lockers. I like, they have these bright, multicolored pink and orange and purple hazmat suit, shaped like a hazmat suit without the hood.
Yeah.
But that everyone puts on over. So I put that over my clothes. And then there's something, it does seem bright and colorful and fun, but I think I'm starting to notice that like there's everyone's like maybe moving in unison a little bit too much. And I'm starting to notice that there's something like that rhythm of the footsteps in the hallway and my heartbeat. Like there's something to the cadence of play that is happening on the floor that is almost reminiscent of that, those footsteps, that beat of footsteps. And there's some dim connection in my mind that like slug blasting, when you're riding your board, there isn't a rhythm. You're catching a wave. It's like a long frequency, not a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And I use my kinetic deck to make it go. Let's see, can I do this? I'd like to make my kinetic deck super light and just put it in the back of my suit so it's kind of disguised.
Sure.
Ooh.
You click a couple things on your kinetic deck. You slide it along your back. It's a little like wonky, but you've kind of taken a bigger suit to kind of make this happen. You stand in front of the sliding glass doors, and as they get ready to open, a little like counter on the top goes bing, 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 bing. The doors slide open, and as if pulled by a vacuum, you are sucked inside the testing floor, and the doors slam behind you.
Whoa.
And we flash to the portal in the center of the operating mega towers.
Whoa.
As four slug blasters, or rather, three slug blasters and one kind of like nice businesswoman.
One nice young teenage businesswoman.
Classic.
Land in the middle of this three-pronged tower. And as you land, you all of a sudden hear someone say, "Get down!" And you hear gunfire above you as a skirmish has erupted between the three warring mega towers.
Oh my god.
I'm going to need everyone to make an action roll.
No! Oh, my god. Oh.
Check it. God. Everyone check it.
Check it.
Oh no. Check it.
Everyone says in unison, check it, as they look up and like duck for cover.
Add whatever dice you want to do. I need rolls from Roshane. Go.
All right. Jesus Christ.
Pick what you want. It's a last second thing. Go.
Do you want me to tell you what I'm taking? Or
I don't care. Roll. I want you to roll.
Okay, bro. Okay. Jesus Christ. I rolled a 6, 3, 1, 1. So six, three, one, one.
Summer, go.
Six, three, one.
Ruby, hit me.
Three and a six.
Yeah!
Three and a six. Sammy, what do you got?
Two threes and a two.
Sammy!
Two threes and a two. Roshane, Summer, and Ruby, all with sixes, all with check-its. Everyone mark a style. Sammy, you are immediately going to take a slam caught in the crossfire.
Ruby is going to nope it.
Hell yeah.
All right, Ruby, take two trouble. Sammy, tell me what happens as you land that you fail. And Ruby, tell me how you save Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy lands and everybody hits the deck and he gets caught for a second trying to activate the hard light upscaling on his jacket. But his jacket is getting so confused by the gray of this world. It's not changing into like a local hometown sports hero because there's not an obvious one here. And so it's getting caught in a loop. And so I don't activate my hard light upscaling as like a shield in time.
Whoa. I'm going to say your hard light jacket starts fritzing out, and then all of a sudden, all over it appears these sparkling unicorns that you realize are at the center of the IP dispute that is the impetus for the war between these three mega towers.
Very good.
I'm picturing very like Lisa Frank.
It's extremely Lisa
yeah.
Frank.
Incredible.
Lisa Frank was Opera Ablin, okay?
For sure.
Ruby, you see Sammy all of a sudden fritzing out as the hard light jacket isn't finding a thing. This colorful light is coming off of him. A bunch of people are starting to look his way. What do you do?
Get down, dude! Sorry. Sorry about this! And she throws Don Cheadle's head around her ankles and yanks it hard for pulling your feet out from under you.
Sammy, you feel slinky around you, and then your feet go in the air without your permission and slam down.
Thanks.
You just see Don Cheadle at the bottom just going...
Thanks, Don.
You guys get down on the ground and you see all around you there are a bunch of like different corporate warring militia kind of running around. You see they all have these like squeeze tube guns and they're firing some kind of paste at people. And as the paste hits, it kind of like encompasses them in this like almost like crusty toothpaste that then hardens them into almost like statues. So people are like shooting this stuff and statues are being formed of like other opposing militiamen.
Summer, that's bad, right? That's bad.
Yeah, that's not good art.
No, I mean we should avoid it, right?
Oh, yeah. We should really avoid that. It's not great. But I mean, I can try to use my reality cannon. We'll see. I think we gotta go. Where do we think Siren went?
Roshane, which way do we crawl?
Roshane, you see in your hands the little gerbil that was working on the computer kind of like taps on the glass of the gerbil ball and goes,
Roshane, it seems like the last entry I had was in Wilkie's Candy Lab in the central tower. And that's the last time I saw.
Thank you. I pat the gerbil. And this is why I love you guys so much. Guys, to Wilkie's Candy Lab. That's where we're going to find Siren.
Okay.
We start crawling.
Okay.
Roshane's going to upright just skate right into Wilkie's Candy Lab doing... tricks along the way.
Ooh, oh, shit.
Oh, show us your slug blast, yeah, Mr. Let's Blaster go. Slug.
I'm not allowed to campaign? Fine. I'm going to slug blast all day.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
With your six, you follow the lead of this gerbil and you slide through the double doors and immediately get blasted on both sides with this air. All of a sudden, your hair, which was like perfectly coiffed and totally ready for campaigning, all of a sudden gets blasted into a mohawk. And you are now very much ready for slug blasting.
No, my hair. What the hell?
That looks pretty sick, Roshane.
It looks really good, Roshane.
Sammy's mouth is jaw-dropped.
Don't look at me. Nobody look. Punk look. Nobody look.
You got little sparklies around your head, mm-hmm. Sammy. Yeah.
Yeah, Sammy, Roshane's like shirt is now untucked. He's like a little bit crumpled. Ooh. Hair is just straight up.
Yeah.
No, ew. Ugh.
You guys make it into this operable mega tower, and at the front you see this massive security guard with a big clipboard is looking at you guys going, you guys have an appointment? His eyes immediately go to Ruby as the only respectable person here.
Rubes, I think this one's on you.
I mean, hello, sir.
Hello.
We... don't have an appointment, but we're interested in a tour. We might be potential interns.
Sammy looks at Summer, mouth agape.
Yeah, I'm going to use Link Patch Duo to telepathically communicate with Sammy via emoji, and it's just the double exclamation point emoji.
Yeah.
Like 7 times.
Sammy sends you the shocked cat emoji back.
Ruby, go ahead and make me an action roll as you see this guy looking at you being like,
a tour? You don't have an appointment? What do you mean you don't have an appointment?
Let me just check it real quick in my calendar.
Nice.
Yes. You win the game.
Like, well, yes, done. Ruby pretends to rummage through her bag. I must have forgotten my planner.
And she makes this roll. Damn. We got a 3 and a 4.
4 is a mixed success, so you're going to take a slam.
Okay.
I'm going to say...
Wait, can I just keep noping stuff?
You can, you can nope trouble. A slam for sure.
I was
going
to nope this one for you, depending on what
sure,
it was.
Oh, sure, if you'd like to take it, yeah. I mean, I'm happy to keep noping things, because I never have trouble.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I now get a style when I nope someone else's slam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm going to say this slam was going to be found out. But Sammy, if you want to nope this slam, go ahead and take 2 trouble. And I guess you get a bonus style because of your trait.
Hell yeah.
What do you do to nope this? As you see, Ruby starts like fumbling. This guy all of a sudden starts like reaching for a walkie-talkie to grab security.
I think like I'm like fiddling with my jacket, and then I like pull it and it changes into the branding like I'm already an intern. Like it's like the company jacket.
Nice.
You see all of a sudden he gets very like at attention, and he goes, "Oh, sir, I'm so sorry. I didn't see your identification credentials."
It's fine. I just wanted to take my friend here. Did you say Rubita was your disguise name?
Yes.
I just wanted to show my friend Rubita and her friends and our friends the internship that I've been getting so much out of here at Wilkie's.
Of course. And you see, it has formed like a little name tag for you, and it says your name, Sammy, and it has just like the jacket has naturally given you 2 stars. And it becomes very clear to you that, like, that is a significant status symbol here.
Oh, like a general?
I think you may even be underplaying what this guy is feeling. Like, the amount of respect that he seems to be giving you all of a sudden. Oh, yeah, yes, of course. But just let me know if there's anything I can do for you. I'm sure you know the way.
Yeah, but just could you describe it to these folks just so they hear it out loud? I don't want to.
Would your friends like a map?
Yes, a map would be great.
Oh, let's get you a map then. So 4 maps for my friends here. Here we go. And passes you guys. Each one of his 4 arms reaches down, passes each of you a map.
Could I have an extra map for my gerbils?
You see him pause moment at the mention of gerbils. And you see on his arm is a sigil that all of a sudden suddenly glows a little bit. And you see it's a sigil of a tree. He goes, what do you mean, gerbils?
Oh! Can I use my reality cannon to do concept inverter and change this guard from skeptical to on board?
You'll need to roll an action roll.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to add a turbo. And so that's 2. Can I take a dare? This feels rather bold.
Okay, so I'm going to need you to burn. because the reality cat is about changing reality, not necessarily like his perception of things.
Yeah, but it rolls to invert a target's adjective, and would you not describe him as skeptical at the moment?
Ooh.
All right. I think letter of the law, you got me. I think spirit of the law, boy, you treading lightly. So I'm going to make you roll. I'm going to need you to add 2 kick to do this.
Okay. I'll add 2 kick.
You prepare to do this, and you immediately recognize the sigil on his arm is that of the Arborists, who are a major faction, not on Operable, but rather on Thenispar.
Oh. What else do I know that they like gerbils?
You get the distinct impression from his countenance that there is a war betwixt Zordon and the Arborists that has gone on for eons.
Oh, yeah, no, we can't tell him about this. All right, yeah, I'm going to use my concept inverter, and I'm rolling with 1 turbo, so I'm just rolling 2 die, but 2 kick as well.
2 kick, you just gotta burn. Like, you're not getting anything extra.
Yeah, I don't get more dice, so I just wear big swings.
I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
6 means you get escorted through this place any way you want. 4 or 5, you're gonna get some kind of slam, and it's probably gonna be a super slam.
Oh, damn.
1, 2, or 3. And the only way you're moving through the rest of this thing is on your boards running.
Hell yeah.
Ooh. Okay, get ready. Get ready, fool. Get ready.
Let's fucking go.
Take a dare. Take a dare.
Call take a dare.
Add extra dice.
You can absolutely take a dare.
All right. What are you going to make me do for it? What's my punishment?
What's my punishment? Hurt me?
You can give Brian a bite or you can take a trouble, I think.
Yeah, so I can either ask for a bite, I can introduce an extra problem, or I can have you mark a trouble. I'm just going to go ahead and have you mark a trouble.
I was going to say, we've got enough problems, so I'm just going to do a trouble.
Well, yeah. Let me be very clear. I get to pick.
Right. Yeah, totally, totally.
All right, so take a trouble.
Three dice.
Great.
All right, wish me luck.
Let's go.
Big.
Okay. It's a one, four, and a five.
Yeah.
One of four. No. You blast this guard with the reality cannon.
Try to do it real subtle, but it is a cannon. So.
You pull out a thing the size of your torso, and you all of a sudden see him get very stiff and go, what? You blast him with this thing. You hear like the tinkling of glass in reverse as all of a sudden.
Gerbils, you say? Man, I used to have a gerbil as a kid. I love gerbils. Of course you can have an extra mat for the gerbils.
Summer, you glance your eyes up and you see a camera has swiveled like 15 or 20 degrees to catch this. And you hear the sound of a servo zooming in. The slam that you have is on a deadline.
Oh, no.
And it's very clear that while this guy doesn't suspect you, someone out there is watching, and your time here to save Siren Stanfield may be limited.
Mm. I'm sorry, if we could start that tour now, that'd be great.
Yeah, let's move in. Thank you, sir, for your help. I'll put in a good word for you upstairs.
You see, he immediately stands at attention and salutes you with all four arms.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, sir.
At ease.
Nice one, Simi.
Ruby's gonna use a guys and look at the map.
Oh, yeah, we just start walking.
Yeah, guys, we just start walking. But
you guys
Ruby's...
start walking. Ruby, with your guys, you immediately see where you need to go. It's like you got to go up a number of floors. You got to go up to like 443, and then you are going down a pretty circuitous hallway. Like if you didn't have a map or you didn't have a guide, it'd be very difficult to get here. The other thing you noticed, Ruby, is all along this map are a number of other marked offices that are like some of them are like Wilkie's employees. Some of them are just like rented offices. Like this is ultimately like a big office building.
Mm.
So there's a lot of people here who don't work for this one company. This is like a conglomerate and Wilkie's is one large part of it. You notice not too far from Wilkie's Candy Lab Funatorium, which is like the biggest, the clearest like big room of Wilkie's. There is a small office labeled Imani.
Cyber Plus Punk Overload is the first official expansion for the award-winning, ultra-stylish, rules-light cyberpunk game, Cyber Plus Punk, that is specifically designed for action-packed one-shot sessions. In Cyber Plus Punk, you are a runner, a merc, a criminal, an activist living on the edge, and running in the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world. Infiltrate a mega-prison, escape a bloody reality show, solve a time loop, race vehicles in the Badlands, or escape the Netscape. One-shot scenarios, gear catalogs, plug-in rule sets, and complete settings made by an all-star cast of game designers and stylishly bundled into three sleek thematic packs. So go back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter to get the limited edition version with a slick hollow foil sleeve. Just search CBR plus PNK colon Overload on Kickstarter. That's CBR plus PNK colon Overload.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the wood. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the Writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs, brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I know where to go. And Ruby traces a finger on the map showing everybody. She's like holding it up. And then she also points, look, Roshane, it's your friend.
I'm not allowed to do campaign stuff, so I don't care.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying it's nearby.
I don't. Cool. That's cool. I'm fine.
I mean, wow. Roshane, look, if she could help us, then maybe you could, like, maybe we should go see her. If she can help us with Siren, then, like, maybe you could do some campaign stuff.
Like a little bit.
I guess networking isn't that bad.
But just, like, when we get into Sai, just, like, maybe don't do it in front of her.
Yeah.
No, fine. I'm happy to go help make, we'll do slug blasting. That's cool. And then Roshane's going to... as fast skate as off. It can, skate, yeah, skate right towards Amani's office.
You guys start skating down this circuitous hallway, passing, like, just regular people walking by, going, huh, and people, like, diving out of the way as you guys are, like, skating on the floors and, like, up the walls and shit.
I think Roshane's also intentionally, like, doing tricks to, like, make people, like, drop their stuff, like, get in people's ways. Like, he, like, is intentionally now just, like, showing off how good he is at slug blasting.
I think this is like the purest slug blasting that Roshane has done for some time. This is also like asshole skater kid vibe of just like getting in the way of anyone who's not in their group and just like causing a ruckus. And you are leaving in your wake a trail of ruckus.
Can I gotta know, like, how does Roshane feel, like, as you're doing this, like, pure instinctive slug blasting that is literally, like, in your DNA? Like, how does it feel to him?
I think Roshane is mad that, like, it feels like he's being forced to do this in a way that, like, feels inauthentic to him. And then on top of this, I think he's anxious. He's really anxious about Siren. He's really anxious about like finding his friend and like making sure she's okay. I think like under it all is like he does want his friend to be like okay and fine. And like I think there's a aura of like fear that maybe you all kind of can feel on Roshane of like something is scaring him.
Whoa.
And as you guys see Roshane do a full corkscrew through a hallway, like literally goes up one wall on the ceiling, down one wall, and back on the floor. We flash to the center of Wilkie's Candy Lab. As Siren Stanfield, you are pelted in the head by in three different directions by these giant Nerf darts that all have like kind of like, rather than have suction cups, they have suction mouths, and you feel like a giant mouth come on you and suction to your face.
No. So they're like leeches.
Lampreys, yeah.
I pull them off and they're kind of like not wet, but like juicy, like sticky.
Ew.
Ew.
And like, okay, those, they definitely work. And as I pull the one off my off my eyes, like a big, you know, like a cartoon plunger would get stuck to a cartoon character's face.
Yeah.
Like that. I would pull it off. And I see standing in front of me, I see Punky T there. And I'm like, oh, Punky, hey, it's me, Sai. I don't know if you remember me from school, but what are you doing here?
You see Punky T has plastered on his face just a big smile. And as you see him like start to open his mouth, you see his teeth are like, just like rotting away.
No.
Just so much. No. So like really soft teeth.
Oh,
lots
no.
of
no.
From eating so much candy, drinking so much of this panic energy drink. He is like playing with this big smile on his face and absolutely joyless eyes as he's shooting other like people who are running around with these like giant Nerf guns. He stops shooting for a second and holds out a form for you. Hey, Siren, great to see you.
Yeah.
How would you rate your experience with these Nerf suckers on a scale of 1 to 5?
Is 5 good?
5's good. 1's bad.
Like a 3, I guess.
You see his eyes go very wide, and you see him just start shaking. And goes,
just a 3?
Oh no. I mean, is it supposed to be this gooey?
Everything in here is supposed to be maximum fun.
Then I see the panic and I'm just like, I'd give it did I say 3? I meant 3 times 2, a 6. That's off the chart fun.
You see his eyes just all of a sudden soften, and he goes, and you look down on his paper and there's a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then he tears off a little like hidden thing that reveals a 6. He goes, thank God.
Punky T, I say, hey, Punky, are you an intern here or are you like working full time? Did you drop out of school?
No, I've been interning here since like last summer, and it's the best job in the multiverse. Sorry, I said, it's the best job in the multiverse.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, man. I mean, people like at school, they were wondering where you were, but I guess, so you're liking it here?
I'm loving it. You see, he holds up the paper, and in this, on like the sides of his big stack of review cards, he's written help. With a big exclamation point. And then he like shows you that, but then kind of like musses the paper so that the message gets hidden.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, sounds awesome. I feel like for the first time since entering the building, this like jolt of panic and seeing this guy's absolutely fucked up teeth. Like there is, say what you will about Null, but we do have pretty good dental care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lots of dentists in Null.
Lots of dentists. So many dentists. In Null. It's actually the number one profession. There's more dentists than any other profession.
More dentists than teachers.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a bit of a problem.
Who teaches the dentist? I look around and all of a sudden all the colors are just a little too bright. And my heart starts to beat a little bit faster, and it starts to beat out of sync with that rhythm. And I look around and I realize, like, this kid's gonna be me. Like even if Roshane wants... And then I also realize, like, there's a ton of power here. Like, there is a force that I find and connect to when I'm slug blasting. And maybe Roshane connects to that force of like bringing people together to do like budgetary shit in his own way. And so I think I like kind of understand a little bit more of like what Roshane sees in it. Cause it's so, if it's so strong that it can like corrupt people to like sacrifice themselves to like fuck up their teeth and shit. So I'm like, yeah, seems like a cool job. And I'm like, you know what else is cool? Check it. And I grab the Nerf gun from him and I have the candy that I took, the Gobstopper candy that was in the spectrums that I couldn't see. Is still in it hasn't like gotten any smaller. And I've like subconsciously been like, you know how you suck on a candy cane and it gets really sharp?
Oh yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I have been doing that. And I look around and I start to see like everyone here has fucked up teeth and that same dead eyes and those fucked up smiles and is doing everything in this like all a little bit too unison. And I take one of the sticky blasters, Nerf sticky things, and I stab this sharpened
accidental shiv of this candy into the tip of it. And I load it into the gun and I just say, you know what? Fuck this place. Check it. And I aim it up at the glass window of Drew's office and I just blast it. And I'd like to try and shatter the window. And I'd like to use a lot of rolls to do that.
You pull out this gobstopper thing that you realize was in the infra blue spectrum. Something we don't
so
even
my
have
tongue is all blue.
And, and you kind of have like faceted it into like some kind of almost like sharpened bullet that you add into this sticky gun. You point it up at Drew and you see Drew standing there completely straight laced, standing behind the glass, arms like behind him, looking out over this like fucked up little fiefdom. And you fire this thing at it. Tell me what kind of roll you want to make. What do you add into this action roll?
Okay, I'm definitely saying check it, because that's the fucking badass shit to do.
Badass.
I am going to add two attitudes.
Ooh.
What? I'm going to do two attitude rolls.
Sure, so two boosts from your attitude.
And then I'll save my... I guess this is a pretty big... I'll save my kick, because I feel like shit's going to get crazy still. So I'm going to roll three dice.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, a two, a four. Let's roll this last one. A six!
Yeah!
You fire this gun that has been, like... When you got slapped in the side of the face, it was, like, clearly this gun was too powerful. Like, the reason that you have testing labs is because you get notes that are helpful and practical, and when people just say yes, five stars to everything, you release some pretty bad products. And you fire it up, this overpowered Nerf gun with this sharpened, almost, like, diamond tip at the front in the infra-blue spectrum, and you... We follow it with the camera as it goes. Drew looks at it, smile. Not even smile, but like the straight-laced mouth, the completely flat mouth, all of a sudden dips into a bit of a frown as he sees this missile coming towards him. And then all of a sudden sees the infra-blue gobstopper at the front and goes, no! And begins to dive to the side as... Glass shatters from above, and the like joyful melody that has been playing in here on loop all of a sudden cuts out as clearly like a bunch of glass got on the record player in his office that was playing it, and the aux cord got unplugged. And all of the testers in this room look up at Drew as he kind of like comes back into frame, like dusting off a bunch of glass from his suit and looking down at you with like a bit of a frown. All of them all of a sudden look at you on what to do next.
Lead the revolt.
I've like ducked to like shelter myself from the glass. And as I stand up, I like instinctively just like pat my hair, like muscle memory. And it like goes over my eye again.
Yes! Cyrus back, baby!
I say, citizens of Operablum, nobody owns you. Papers are fucking just trees that got shaped weird.
Yeah.
Those are just words, and words are just sounds shaped weird. Okay, I think you see what I'm getting at. This place sucks. You guys deserve better. You deserve freedom and somewhere that doesn't, like, make your hair look the same every day. You can have whatever hairstyle you want. I'm losing the plot. Let's go. Let's get out of here. Overthrow the corporate overlords. Slug blasting forever.
What?
Check it.
And
then I like
dance.
Rip. Like. That's like, there's like a really, there's like a middle-aged man with like long, like straggly spiky hair. He's like, I want to pick this.
I want to pick this.
And there's a moment where everyone's like totally silent and they're like, that was like a very meandering speech from a teen. And then
everyone's
they're like
trying to like be like, what were you saying? What's the gist of this?
I rip off my hazmat suit, my candy-colored hazmat suit, and you see just, like, my black, like, grunge, like, torn clothes underneath it. And I whip my board out from my back, and I just go, "Slug, blasting forever, rules are fake." I like, hit it so it gets extra hard. And I, like, get on it, and I say, "Check it." And I kick it over to the slug blasting training area, and I ride it there and just do, like, a sick trick. And all the while just screaming, like, "Freedom!" Mm-hmm.
As you go to the slug blasting area, you jump on your board, kick your kinetic deck so that it goes back to regular density, and you fly over to this slug blasting indoor course. As you see these ramps that, like, almost defy your imagination, they seem to have their own artificial gravity to them. There are, like, portals within them that seem to, like you can do tricks through one portal and emerge on the other side, and you make this run through this thing. The entirety of the area around you begins to look at you and kind of, like, take this in, this pure expression of slug blasting. What I need you to do, you've successfully destroyed the window. You've kind of, like, made a statement towards Drew. Now, this is your statement to everyone else here. I need you to make one more action roll, and this is to inspire all of the testers on the funatorium floor to revolt.
Okay. Either way, I have I know what I want to do next, and it's crazy. So I'm going to do.
I cannot.
So I'm going to make this action roll. I'm going to use my kick from my grit character sheet to make this, like, impactful.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to use another kick. I'm going to use two kicks. I'm going to use another kick from my kinetic deck. And then I'm going to add a dice from my kinetic deck also. So I'm going to only roll two dice.
Take a dare.
Oh, can I take a dare for an extra
take
dice?
Take a dare.
This feels pretty daring.
Yeah, you can take
this
a dare.
This is very daring.
So you'll add an extra d6. Normally, I would just have you add a trouble. Instead, I'm going to add an additional complication.
Oh, yeah.
As you take this dare,
of course,
sirens go off around this entire area. And I think for Sammy, right. Summer, Ruby, and Roshane, you guys hear these sirens as well. Not sure if... I think at this point, you just assume that they are for
it's
you.
It's probably for us, yeah.
Ah, shit, they're coming for us.
Okay, we got one dice. That's a 3. 2 dice. That's a 1.
No.
And... a 6!
Yes!
Yes!
Okay.
Yes!
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Good job, dice. Good narrative job.
Flying through this this indoor court, you are going through, making this just, like, show of pure sportsmanship and athleticism, and most importantly, freedom.
Freedom!
And everyone here is looking at you and seeing this expression of just pure freedom and things that they had forgotten, things they had been playing and testing in a way that had neither joy nor freedom nor whimsy. They were simply using the mechanical things how they were designed to be used, but without any imagination or play. And as you are going through this final moment, you realize you're on a collision course with a portal that you have not gone through yet. One of these, like, little mini portals, and you don't know where it goes. You don't know how to approach it. This is a thing that you, as Siren Stanfield, as the grit, are not good at. You are not good at going into, like, brand new spaces. You like to practice, to practice, to practice, to know what you are doing. And you have to simply take this one on the chin, go through it, not knowing where you're going to end up, not knowing what kind of trick you're doing, and simply take it on faith.
Because I have this kinetic deck, like, I can make this deck, like, as heavy as any material. Like, I can make much heavier than anything. So I'd like to, right before I get to this portal, I would like to make my deck heavier than anything in this building.
Okay.
And use the deck to directly tunnel down to the ground floor and, like, make an escape, like, shoot for everyone on this floor, or at least, like, a hole for people to, like, climb down through.
Wow.
But I'm also down to go through the portal.
I was gonna say, if you could use the weight of it when you shoot through the portal, like all of a sudden now your velocity is insane, straight downwards or something.
Yeah. I just don't know if this portal like takes me to a different like realm.
This portal is all internal in this space. But if you want to add a crazy amount of weight to your board, say you can absolutely do it. As you fly through this final portal, knowing what you want to do and not knowing how you are going to be able to accomplish it, you fly through the portal and activate your board.
Yeah.
And as you click that activation, cranking it all the way back, there is a like limiter to it that you break through, and you feel the board getting massive beneath your feet. And as you go through this portal, we're going to flick back over to Rashane, Ruby, Sammy, and Summer. You guys skating through these endless hallways, these circuitous hallways. People all of a sudden, a bunch of red and blue and purple. And you see a number of lights that are doing something, but clearly the color spectrum that you can't see are all going around. And you are quickly approaching the double doors. Are you guys making your way towards Imani's or to the double doors of the Funtorium?
Can I stop someone and ask them with this kind of like fake authority, like, what's happening?
Yeah, I'm going to say with your already established hard light jacket, no role necessary. This operating woman kind of comes up to you, goes, oh, it seems like there's some kind of alert. There's like intruders or potentially like some kind of security thing going on inside. So you're supposed to, you know, get to your office, sir, and just, you know, lock the doors and, you know, the security guards will come through pretty quick.
All right. Delicious be the day. Goodbye.
You see, the woman looks at you and goes, and with your palate?
Very good.
Summer just said Sammy telepathically a question mark emoji, like, what?
I don't know. Okay.
You see her run off to someone else and be like, have you heard of Delicious be the day? Is that a new thing we're doing? What is this? Was he hitting on me? What was that?
Guys, I think maybe we gotta, like, this doesn't feel good. We gotta make a choice.
I feel like we gotta go get Sai. I'm worried that maybe she's at the center of this.
I guess we go through the double doors.
It's for Shane. I guess we're gonna have to talk to Imani another time.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Whatever.
Rashane, are you sticking with the crew or are you peeling off to talk to Imani?
I'm gonna stick with the crew.
And Ruby claps you on the back. Like, I knew you had it in you.
Yeah.
I feel like Sammy would clock it. I was gonna say
I was feeling, Sammy's feeling guilty. Yeah, Sammy sees Rashane be like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, oh, no.
Yeah, Rashane's not happy.
Ruby does not understand this.
Summer's been trying to like get a little bit of footage, but she's like, this is not gonna cut together. This is we know this is not gonna, we can't fix this in post.
I think Rashane's grabbing footage like with the gerbils. Like, there's a gerbil cam.
Nice.
Gerbil cam.
Yeah. It's got like a fisheye lens.
You guys pass right past Imani's door. What you see, it's like, you know, Imani LLC. It's like some kind of like legal services door. Very bland and dry. And you see Rashane's eyes kind of pass and linger on it as you guys burst through the double doors. Bursting through the double doors, you guys find yourself on the catwalk about 20 or 30 feet above the floor of the Funtorium, the Wilkie's Candy Lab Funtorium. As all of a sudden, at your eye level, you see Siren Stanfield emerging from a portal up in the air, holding her board out almost like a Christ stare, just doing this whole massive thing. And then
a what?
A Christ stare is when you like grab your board out from under you and literally hold it to your side while you're in the air. So like you kind of almost like make the sign of the cross. It's a huge move because your board is as far away from your feet as they possibly can be. All of a sudden you catch Siren's eyes. Siren, you catch the eyes of all your friends. You have one sentence to say. What do you say as you see your friends?
Just say,
huh?
Rashane says nothing.
Oh.
Siren rips down the side of her board, and you see the weight gets increased dramatically as you find the board under your feet. Gravity finds you again, and you drop down fast. And all of a sudden, going towards the massive foam pit here, you grab the back of your board with your hand and push it down, letting it fly. You land in the foam pit as your board... All of you feel the entire operable mega tower shake as this ultra-dense, ultra-heavy hoverboard begins to tunnel through floors and floors and floors of this operable mega tower, completing an escape hatch for the prisoners inside.
Holy shit.
Ruby grabs her board and starts banging it on the railing, because that's what people do when you land tricks. Like,
right.
She's like, yeah, check it.
As Ruby starts doing that, everyone around here starts going, yeah! And you see, like, random, like, sucker fish Nerf guns start getting fired in the air, like you know, you're firing at a wedding or whatever.
Oh my god.
You see, like, candy getting thrown. You see people are, like, popping or like shaking up and popping energy drinks that seem to be like ultra carbonated and are blasting like 30 feet away with different bits of carbonated beverage. And everyone starts moving towards this foam pit where there's now a hole leading to freedom. And from up top, you guys hear Drew going, no, no, stop. Clicks over a PA system. Excuse me,
employees, please continue your frivolity. Reports are due at the end of today in 24 hours.
Guys, I think we gotta follow Sai.
Yeah.
Ruby is gonna run to the end of a catwalk where it might overlap with this area.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, she's gonna jump it and drop in.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Check
you better
it!
Say check it. Yeah.
I was gonna say, we're definitely grinding the rail of this catwalk.
Yeah. She just pretty much hops over. What is it? It's called like a boneless or something. Her feet are not yet on the board, and she pushes it underneath her feet, and she's just kind of flying until she reaches the ramp, I guess.
Can I say, that the heat from the, just like the kinetic heat from the deck has fused one side of this hole into just like a sweet like ramp.
You've made
it's like really steep, but it's just like a really steep like stories and stories drop. Because I also don't want to collapse the building, because I don't want to like.
I don't think
kill
you're
anybody.
Collapsing the building. I think what you're making.
I want it to be structurally sound.
What you made is as this board goes through it, it like. It's so hot and so fast that like a bunch of the beams like kind of melt under it and then drip and form to the next hole. What you've made is a massive slide.
That is
definitely like, dope. I mean, it's a hoverboard. It's a tight slide. Like this is like, you know, cross arms, like water slide at a water park. It's narrow, but you can definitely get through it.
I think Sammy's going to ride down the wall of the whole Funnatorium kind of area, and he's gonna say check it and do a bunch of like his laser skates shift gravity just like temporarily for him so he can ride on the wall, and he's gonna be writing something big with the like antimatter cleaning spray.
Ooh. Cool.
Yes.
I think you guys realize in this moment that, like, you guys immediately get the idea from, like, what just happened. You see, like, shattered glass. You see, like, employees return to your frivolity. You see the employees cheering. You see, like, all of them with, like, rotted teeth. And you see Siren making an escape. You pretty quickly clock, like, you don't know exactly what was going down here, but, like, bad, Wilkie's bad, escape good.
Yeah.
And you also realize that, like, what you're seeing in here is all highly classified candies that are going to be coming out, games that are going to be coming out, toys, slug blasting materials, and ramp types. This is all highly, highly, highly classified and prized information, and not a single goddamn one of you has signed an NDA.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Summer, are you rolling?
Yeah, definitely. She thinks she is. Summer's not getting the footage that we need.
Mm.
I don't know if Shane's gerbils are getting it, but
gerbil cam's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer thinks she's getting it, but she's been so rattled by the fracture that I think she's just like not getting the footage. It's again not gonna cut together. We can't fix this in post.
And Summer, your camera got smashed.
That's right.
I've got a backup. It's an older model, but
no. And Brian, could I sacrifice a legacy to heal a fracture?
Yeah, sure.
The tag I'm going to do is like a direct opposition to Roshane. So I'm going to delete Crush Troller / Budgetary Bay. And I think that maybe this phrase sounds cool in my head. Maybe it's not. I think Sammy tags, if you hear a siren, she's already gone on the wall with like a big question mark next to it.
That's sick, actually. That is dope.
It's very good.
And I say check it. And I say check it before I do it.
I'm going to say, as you guys realize the type of room that you're in and like what getting footage in here or what just doing tricks in here means, all tricks that are done in the Wilkie's Funatorium Restricted Test Room get +1 style for success. So, Siren, you can go ahead and mark an additional 3 style on your sheet.
Yes.
And Ruby, you were making a trick. Sammy, you were doing this thing. Both of you go ahead and give me some rolls.
Cool.
Ruby's going to nose grind to a kickflip down. What's up?
Hell yeah.
We got a 4 and a 6.
4 and a 6. Success. Take that style. And take an additional style.
Pie!
With the pie dice. Ruby, you land it, nail it. Everything's looking fucking great. And you are... is Ruby, like, kind of mussing up all of her stuff and getting back into Ruby mode? Are you doing all these tricks in, like, tight-laced businesswoman mode?
No, as a businesswoman, still.
You're doing this in very sensible heels, which are very non-sensible slug-blasting shoes.
Still impressive, technically.
Yes.
Oh, more impressive.
More impressive.
Can I take a dare?
Yeah, you can take a dare. Go ahead and take an additional trouble.
You got it, Chief. Oh, that's a 6, baby.
Wow.
God damn. So take a style and then a bonus style.
Yeah.
Sammy, you draw this message. What was the message again?
If you hear a siren, she's already gone.
If you hear a siren, she's already gone. You emblazon this. You're not on null. This stuff, this de-scouring cleaning foam is wildly caustic and essentially permanent four-dimensional graffiti in other worlds of the multiverse. You tag this on the Wilkie's Funatorium in a way that they will have to build around. Oh, yeah. Siren, you look up and see your friends starting to just like go to town in this, and you see this massive emblazoned banner. If you hear a siren, she's already gone. What does Siren feel as she sees that from her friend?
Hell yeah. She feels like excited. First, just like the pure passion of slug blasting and like her genuine thing that she loves, where there's no other thought. She's just like, wow, those guys are so fucking sick at it. Like, and she just loves to watch it and loves to see the craft. And then she feels like really embarrassed and ashamed that she like acted so childishly and even though she is a child, but you know, that's part of being a teenager. and is just so embarrassed that she like would leave these guys and would even like be here. And she feels like also shitty that she has kind of been misunderstanding Roshane, and like, just because she loves something doesn't mean that everyone else has to love it, you know? And like, you can still have friends that have different interests. And so she's just feeling like a mixture of like awe and embarrassment, which is a very confusing emotion.
Siren, you look up at this and you see like your phone is kind of blowing up from like everyone's like taking pictures and are like sending them to you individually. You see the group chat that you had left still in your contacts. Two fractures have been unbroken in this moment. As you see Ruby in like pure businesswoman attire, clear like that's how they got in. You see Sammy make this grand gesture of this writing on the wall that will exist in eternity, whether or not they have to build around it. Do you rejoin the group chat?
I don't think, because we still have two fractures, so we're still broken up.
You guys can have up to two fractures and still be an okay crew. It's that third one that gets you to breaking up. But at this point, you guys are still going to have two fractures. You're still right on the edge. Things are still rough. But this is a point where you could, if you wanted to, rejoin this crew.
I guess, like, seeing Sammy's graffiti, at first it flashes through my mind, like, oh, they've just come here for Roshane's internship. Like, oh, they've just come here for this reason. And then I see the marker, the cleaning supply, like, etched throughout eternity. And I'm like, they do fucking like me. Like, these are my friends. And I do rejoin the group chat, and I'm just like, text, let's get the fuck out of here.
All of you at the same time, ding, 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 get a text from Siren Stanfield, a number that is now added back into the Hung group chat. Let's get the fuck out of here. As a reward for Siren rejoining, you guys completing this run.
Oh.
Whoa.
You guys are going to lose another fracture from this group.
Thank God.
Yay!
You are down to only one fracture in this group, but you have, at this point, rejoined with Siren. And is there anything else anyone wants to do in this room before you guys make your way through this emergency chute exit slide?
I was going to ask if Siren clocked Roshane's look.
Oh.
Or if you see Roshane up there at all.
His, like, he's in, like, he's looking, like, more like a slug, regular slug blaster,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Roshane's got various, like, untucked shirt, hair up in, like de facto mohawk because of this wind blast. Roshane's looking like a slug blaster.
She does, but she's also, like, Roshane is one of her best friends in the world, and she knows him, like, so well. And she also has an Eldritch pact with his backpack dribbles. And
that's a deep connection.
She actually sees his look, and that's part of what strikes her as, like, oh, that's not quite right. Like, she sees past the look, and she sees the look in his eyes, and that he's, like, angrier than he should be. And that makes her, like, a little sad. And she, but it's so, that's part of what helped draws her back to the group too, is that he would, like, her friendship is important enough to him that he would change some of who he is. And she knows that that's not who she wants to be, is someone that makes people change in that way. And so she comes up with a plan to make it up to him that I'll reveal some in the future.
Hell yeah. Can I do one thing, Brian?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
The police are still kind of coming, right?
You guys hear down the hallway, like, the footsteps of the intra tower security guard, and this is like a militarized police force.
I think as Roshane, like, sees his friends drop into the portal, kind of, like, smiles and gives, like, a wave to them, and, like, I think is, like, happy everyone's safe. And, like, genuinely, I think everyone kind of feels that. And then kind of turns away from the portal and goes, like, doesn't want the police to, like, follow them into the portal. So goes, I'll check you guys later. It's somewhere in there. And is gonna go, all right, Zordon, activate protocol. Fuck the police.
You see three gerbils come out, and inside of their gerbil balls, there's, like, a bunch of, like, anarchy symbols and, like, spray painted graffiti and, like, a bunch of, like, anarchist texts, like, plastered to the wall. One of them is labeled Mayhem, one of them is labeled Mischief, and one of them is labeled Trickery. And they fly out of your bag and begin suctioning themselves to the walls and start running around this place. And a bunch of guards come in and they go, gerbils! All of them start freaking out and firing this, like, toothpaste tube stunning gel at the gerbils, and the gerbils are just going, hey, fuck the man, fuck the burrowing into the walls and like going into grates, and everyone immediately forgets what's happening in here and starts going after the gerbils. You hear deep within your backpack as you start going down this slide deeper into the building, you just hear
Go, go. Feast upon them.
The hell?
Very good.
I thought you would make your roll for that.
No, absolutely no roll necessary. You have a plus two, and I want it to happen. but I will wait. What I want you to do is go ahead and make a roll for me, because I don't want to rob you of potential style and stuff like that in this room, since you're getting a style bonus.
You said a check it, yeah.
You said a check it, want to get you all the stuff that you what you need.
Oh, can I pitch something?
Yeah.
Can you use the gerbil balls as ball bearings and like make your trick extra cool to like have them as like wheels on underneath your board?
Hell yeah. That's absolutely what's happening.
Yeah. What are you rolling and tell what you get?
Okay. I'm going to add two kick to this. One boost. I'm going to do a double dare. So I'll take two trouble to get two plus two D6. I'm rolling five D6.
Dang.
Go ahead and roll it.
6, 2, 3, 4, 4.
Take the style check and take a bonus style. As you pull out, like a bunch of gerbils come out of your bag and they start making like a ball bearing type thing. As you do a trick and then immediately find yourself flying down this garbage chute style slide deeper into the building and hopefully to some kind of exit, you all of a sudden look up and you see in the corners of this room all of these security cameras blinking with their lights. You hear the servos zoom in on you, and the gerbil that was like looking for Siren all of a sudden starts like hacking into the security cameras and it's
yes!
like,
hey boss, do you want the footage or not? I can get it, but it's gonna take me a second. Hang on, I got it.
You see him just like jamming on keyboards all around him. He's got like four-dimensional keyboards. He goes, oh baby, I got it. And all of a sudden you hear a ping from your phone as footage from your guys' entire run gets sent the internal security cameras with the Wilkie's logo like emblazoned on the bottom to truly prove in four dimensionals that it is real.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
And you down into the darkness of this slide. Summer, I think you're the only one that hasn't gotten to make a roll in this room if you want to like get a little bonus action in here as you start making your way down the slide.
I think really the only thing is that Summer is starting to think about feeling bad, and with like Roshane, we have the similar thing of like our parents don't understand us, and just because similar to Siren of like just because the thing that Roshane's parents don't understand is different from the thing that my parents don't understand, I'm like, I know what that feels like. And so when Roshane does his super cool trick to get into the slide, I think Summer with her like old school camera that's like not that up to date, she's gonna try to get it, and she gets one clear like still image of Roshane doing just the sickest trick because it's in his blood, and she makes a mental note that she's gonna work it into his campaign art when she gets back home. And then I'm just gonna roll to do a smooth ass trick to get down that slide.
go ahead and roll also for this, I think, for this photograph.
Yeah, okay.
Look at this photograph.
Plus one style for check it.
Check it.
And go ahead and roll
check it.
Go ahead and roll an action roll for me.
Okay. I'm gonna add one attitude so that it's two die.
Alright, go for it.
Okay. Fingers crossed. 4 and a 6.
God damn you guys. It's killing me. All I want to do is give you more slams. You get an extra style from taking a picture in this room. You get a picture of Roshane just framed so well. The lighting is phenomenal here. You know this will turn out.
Yeah. The one good shot she's gotten all day.
He's like surrounded in the air by some of these gerbil balls that say like mischief, mayhem, and trickery. And like maybe you can like edit those out a little bit. You know, edit the words.
They like so. Trustworthy.
Exactly. There might be a little bit of Photoshop you need to do because of just the pure chaos and anarchy that is inherent in this scene. But you get a picture of Roshane that shows for a moment, like true enjoyment in this like slug blasting moment. And you follow him down the slide.
To be clear, Roshane is not taking the slide home. He's going out the front door and then leaving.
Amazing.
So I guess Summer gets the shot as she's going down the slide, and just doing sick trick to like jump over the company police.
Sick.
Shane, as you start leaving, are you just making for the front door, or are you making a stop at Imani's?
Ooh.
Oh, I'll make a stop at Imani's.
All of you, vroom, 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 vroom. Summer, Sammy, Ruby, and then finally Siren Stanfield skip out past the doors, past the blasts of air that seem to mat your hair back down rather than putting them back up into mohawks, land out in the ever-present rain of this central area of the Operable and Mega Towers. You guys see each other. There is a ecstatic moment. You guys just fell like a 40-floor slide. Like, if nothing else, like, this was nuts. Siren, you see your board nearby, and you see your friends smiling at you. It is difficult to describe the feeling of elation, of healing so much, so many wounds in a friendship so quickly. And I think all of you, like, look at each other and just immediately burst into laughter. Like, you just fell 40 floors. You broke into and out of Wilkie's candy lab. You're in the middle of a different plane. It's coming down rain. You go from the inside of just colorful puke bonanza back out into the cold, you know, grimdark rain of a cyberpunk world. And just the change and elation and everything just bursts out in some way. And it takes all of you a moment to realize that Roshane is not with you. And that is where we'll end this episode First Dungeon.
No! Oh my god.
Very, very good.
But we fixed it.
One in, one out, eh?
Damn it.
Tune in next time to see if this already fractured crew can fully repair itself, or if the cracks will falter once again.
Shit.
Damn. And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Slug Blaster! Slug Blaster!
Slug Blaster.
If you hear the siren, she's already gone.
She's already gone.
I love that. That's dope.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by MythWorks. Grab your own copy of Slug Blaster by going to myth.works and using the promo code MFD2025 to get 20% off your entire order. This episode features the voice talents of Elliot Davis, Jen De La Vega, Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Carolyn Page, and Chanuk Tissera. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and original music by Behold. You can download his entire Slug Blaster album plus a whole bunch more great music over at bandcamp.com or stream it on Spotify. Additional music provided by artlist.io. If you want even more My First Dungeon, join our Patreon to get access to bonus actual plays and to hear the cast talk back for this episode, which sounds a little something like this.
Tell me how you really feel about mimes.
Abby's coming for mimes.
No, I love mimes. Let's be very clear.
My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production.
If you're hearing this, that means you have listened to every last second of this episode, and that probably makes you a fan of this show. Well, if you're a fan and you like what we're doing and want to help others find it as well, then consider leaving us a 5-star review over on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Getting more ratings really does help more people find the show, and reading your nice words about the things that we put out into the world makes us feel all warm and good inside, and we want more of those good, good feels. So head on over to your podcast player of choice and leave us a 5-star review. Thanks.